Radio Catskill has been keeping you connected at this critical time.
Please support Radio Catskill.
Help end our quiet fall fund drive.
Give now at wjffradio.org.
And make a contribution of any amount.
Please help keep us on the air and active for everyone in the community.
And thank you for supporting public radio in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Give now at wjffradio.org.
Thanks.
This is Radio Catskill. We're your community radio station, keeping you connected. I'm Jason Dole, and right now we're connecting you with the candidates, continuing our coverage ahead of the election, which is now just 6 days away. Election day. Of course, the election's kind of underway with early voting already going on. But right now we're going to check in with the race for New York's 42nd State Senate District. We spoke with incumbent Senator Jen Metzger, I think, about last week. And now we're checking in with her challenger, Mike Martucci, running for New York State Senate in the 42nd District, New York. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
I want to ask you, you to tell your story and introduce you to folks. But as I was just looking on the internet quick, I noticed that this has been a long year for you. You announced your candidacy, was it back in January?
Yes, back in January. It certainly feels like a very long time ago. I don't think any of us could have imagined back in January how the world would change in such a significant way just a few months afterward. But yes, back in January.
And what's it been like campaigning during the pandemic?
Well, I mean, I think like everyone's life, whether it's with respect to school or your home life or your work life, everything's very different. And campaigning certainly is no exception. This year with the new election cycle, it was important to announce back in January because the petitioning process, the process by which you qualify for the ballot began in the month of February. Beginning earlier in the cycle was important. And I would tell you that, when the pandemic hit full swing in the middle of March, certainly my team and I had taken a pause from traditional campaign activities, because effectively we suspended all of the traditional campaign activities to really pivot to find ways that we could help in the community. I think no different than so many other people had done at that time.
Yeah, everybody, that's pretty much how everybody reacted, either hunkered down and look after their own or do whatever you could for your neighbor. Everybody was doing that. So you had to take a bit of a pause there, but of course you were back on the trail, and we've been hearing your name and seeing your face, and now is your chance to introduce yourself to the WJFF listener. How did you get, what have you done, and how did you get to this point where you decided to run?
Well, first, again, thank you for having me on. I've heard wonderful things about the important work your station does to keep the community informed, so it's an honor to be here with you this evening and talk for a few minutes. Quickly about me, I'm a lifelong resident of the region, grew up in Orange County, not too far from your listening area, and had attended school here in Orange County, went to Orange County Community College, and only went as far as, geographically, as far as Marist College in Poughkeepsie. I have a wife and three children, three beautiful children. My son is 5, my daughter is 3, and our youngest daughter just turned 1 year old a couple weeks ago. So certainly this has been challenging for our family, staying at home, those protocols, and transitioning to at least part-time virtual learning has been a challenge for us like so many other families. Yeah. But as I was saying, I graduated from Marist College where I got my MBA, and I graduated in 2008. And if you kind of think back to 2008, the job market for graduating college graduates in 2008, especially those with business degrees like I had, was much like it is today. The jobs were hard to come by. Good jobs were even harder to come by. So in 2008, not being able to find a job that I had gone to school for, I did something pretty crazy, and I bought one school bus. I began driving that school bus and on a contract, public contract here in Orange County. And just as soon as I had enough money saved up to buy a second school bus, I did that. And my grandmother, who was retired at the time, still is retired, in fact, came to work for me. It was my very first employee. And I don't even know that I can call her an employee, Jason, because I didn't pay her anything, so she was really a volunteer. But that was the start of a school bus company, Quality Bus Service, that I began. Over the 10 years to follow, I built the company from that first school bus to over 550 employees, almost all of whom were based in the Orange County area. I had the opportunity to sell that company in April of 2018, which I did. And then, after spending some time with my family, and my wife and I grew a charitable foundation, a family foundation that we had founded, I made the decision to run for public office. I've never run for public office before ever in my life, so I'm not a politician. But the reason that I'm getting involved is because I see what's going on in New York as a father and as a husband, as someone who's created jobs here. And it's very clear to me that this state's headed in the wrong direction.
You know, give some examples. What is it that you see happening in New York that you don't like?
Sure. So, I mean, look, I think while so many folks are frustrated with the two-party system that we have here in America, what we have in New York is worse. We have a one-party system. And, what that one-party system has led to over the past 2 years really has been, from my perspective, some pieces of legislation that are absolutely devastating to our rural communities. First, I'm talking about dangerous changes that have been made to the criminal justice system, specifically with respect to bail reform, that have made our communities less safe. Certainly a financial situation, which started before coronavirus with our state in billions of dollars of debt, which now has only been magnified by the virus. So today, as a state, we stand on the edge of a fiscal cliff that needs to be addressed. And, I think third, and very, very importantly, now that we're recovering together from at least the initial sweep of the virus, we need to be looking for ways to reduce the cost of living here in New York and help bring back the jobs that are so important to help help folks be able to stay and live and afford to be here.
Right. So as you look to represent this district, it's a very rural district. For the most part, there's a lot of different types of communities, but still here in Sullivan County, agriculture is still like the number two industry. You got tourism, we got agriculture. What are you looking at doing for farmers and agriculture specifically, and just rural area in general?
So, one of the very bad pieces of legislation that passed with the support of my opponent, Senator Metzger, was the Farm Labor Bill. And this Farm Labor Bill has been absolutely devastating to the agricultural industry, not only in Sullivan County, but really around the entire state of New York. One of the things, having met with our farmers and having spoke to our farmers a lot, that our farmers are looking for are competitive markets. And what's unique about the entire state Senate district is it borders New Jersey and Pennsylvania on one side. And our farmers who are in Sullivan County and other places in the district oftentimes are competing with farmers just over the line in places like New Jersey and Pennsylvania who have significantly lower operating costs. And our farmers are not price setters. Our farmers are price takers. And the problem that we have, essentially, is that this state has driven up the cost of doing business on our farmers. Our farmers are not able to pass those costs along in market. So they end up struggling. And, I'm in favor of a plan that I've been speaking about that would be what I call the Farmers First Tax Credit, which are tax credits to fully compensate for the disastrous law that was passed that has made our New York farms tremendously, tremendously disadvantaged to their counterparts out of state.
Right. And I mean, the people that passed this law, they say that this is to ensure equitable housing and working conditions, granting collective bargaining, essentially trying to protect farm worker rights. Okay. So how do you protect farm worker rights? Hey, Mike, can you hear me? Hey there, Mike, can you hear me? I think he's there, but he can't hear us. You're listening to Radio Catskill, WJFF. This is your community radio station. Please do hold on for just one moment. Thank you. And there, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, sorry about that. You lost me somehow. Yeah, so anyway, you're talking about the farm bill. I was just pointing out that the people that passed the farm bill, you know, said they were doing it to protect farm workers' rights and ensuring equitable housing, collective bargaining rights, things like that. So you're saying that this negatively impacts farmers' ability to stay competitive. So how do farmers stay competitive, but you still protect farm workers?
Well, look, I mean, you know, I think that there's certainly a way to balance those interests, you know, but, you know, I guess what I would say is you need to look no further than the bill signing to know that this was a politically motivated bill that really wasn't done in the best interest of either our farmers or our farm workers. And here's why I say that. You know, this bill was signed in the newsroom of the New York Daily News, one of our state's biggest news outlets, in New York City. So, you know, when I think of the way that this bill could have been done properly, I believe that, you know, we'd seen public hearings around the state at the time that this was being debated. We heard from our farmers. We heard from the Farm Bureau. We heard from interested parties in terms of how this, you know, could have been done in a way that didn't adversely affect our farms. And, you know, the legislators sat, they listened through all of these many hours of public hearings, you know, and went ahead and voted anyway to do this. And one worse, really delegated future decisions with respect to the matter to an appointed commission. So moving forward, doing things like changing overtime thresholds and other substantive changes that would affect our farms in a big way don't even need to appear before the legislature. And I'm just simply not in favor of the legislature delegating its authority in that matter.
Okay, and we're down to the last couple minutes here, but real quick on other issues of the economy in this region. Again, I said agriculture is a big industry, but so then is tourism, which has been, everybody's been impacted by COVID-19 pandemic. Tourism's really been hit by this. Do you have any ideas for the economy beyond agriculture and perhaps specifically for tourism?
Well, look, you know, very simply, when I think back to a time when Sullivan County was really thriving, it was a time when its tourism industry was booming. So there's no question that, you know, to get the county back to a situation where its economy is booming, tourism is center of that conversation. Very simply, what I favor is a plan that does away with the billions and billions of dollars in the bloated state budget that are used for the Empire Development Program, which create very few good upstate jobs, and effectively is corporate welfare for big business. I support a plan that would take those economic development funds, push them down to local IDAs and LDCs so that they can be employed in the best way locally in communities and counties across our state. Because I feel like economic development is best done at the local level, and really what I want to see is New York treat its small businesses with the same respect that it treats its large businesses.
Okay, great. And then before we go, in just this brief time, could you sum up why you want voters to choose you over your opponent? Hey there, Mike.
Can you
hear
me? I might have lost you again, Jason.
You might have lost me again. I think we're going to have to say goodbye. Can you hear me now? Hello. Okay, we're going to have to go anyway. This is Radio Catskill. We're your community radio station.